Good morning. My name is John Hutchison. I'm the transformation pastor here at the Vineyard. And if it's your first Sunday joining us, welcome. Thank you so much. So I remember walking into this building for the first time. It was back in 2014. I came in these south doors here, and I was greeted by a lady by the name of Tamara Brandt. Now, some of you might be familiar with that name. Tamara, she headed up the welcome team during that time, and she's since retired and moved to Florida. But Tamara, she introduced herself to me. I didn't know anything about this church. I didn't know what to expect at all. I grew up in the church, and so I was kind of familiar with church culture. But anyways, I walked in, we start talking. She just made me feel so loved and so seen, so known. And that really left a mark on me. I really remember that. And let me just pause really quick. Thank you so much, those of you who serve on our welcome team. Thank you for taking time and loving people and making them feel seen and known and welcome. You don't know the impact you're actually having on them. So after we chatted for a few minutes, Tamara then walks me straight through the commons here over to like where the coffee is. And she introduced me to a man by the name of Happy Lehman. And I didn't know anything about Hap at all. He had an awesome name. And I just remembered again feeling like seen and known. He started asking me questions about where I was from, you know, where I grew up and what college I was going to and if I played any sports and all that kind of stuff. And it kind of took me back. Well, he then gave me about 5 random books that I've never heard of in my entire life, one of them being Gospel in 10 Words, come on. And he asked me to read them all, write a paragraph on each chapter and then send him my results. And so I was so overwhelmed at how loved I felt in that moment. I said, of course I'm gonna do that. That's awesome. This is amazing. Well, then Hap walks me over to another man, and he was a college pastor at the time. His name was Tim Brasick. And Tim is still a good friend today, and he now lives in California and pastors out there. But what's amazing is in a matter of about less than 10 minutes of walking in those doors, I didn't know it at the time, but my life was really instantly changed in 10 minutes. And so I am so thankful for this church, and Hap and I, we've been buddies ever since, and he has just spoken life into me over the last 10 years, constantly encouraging me, reminding me of the call of God on my life, and him and I have both really blessed me and prayed for me that I would be everything that God has called me to be. And so since we moved back in 2023, serving under Mike and Julie, it's just such an honor to be part of this team. Can we just love Mike and Julie, just thank them, honor them for what God's doing. Thank you, guys. I would not be here without this family. So it's a really special time for me today. And so, you know, first of all, here's a little nugget. You need some older people in your life, maybe 10 years older, 20 years older than you, to speak life into you and remind you of who God has called you to be. To call the gold out of you when you forget for yourself. Because that's what they did for me. Constantly reminding me of what God has called me to do. And so that's a whole nother thing. But I never wanted to be in ministry. I wasn't pursuing full-time ministry at all. But I had an encounter with God that changed my life forever and really removed all other options from my story and what God was doing with me. And so whether today is your first day here or you've been here for decades, I really believe today that the Holy Spirit is gonna speak to you in a new and fresh way, and he's going to stir a hunger on the inside of you for more. Does that sound good? All right, cool. Well, let's pray before we start. Lord, we just thank you for your presence. Holy Spirit, would you begin to just soften our hearts this morning as we just hear from your word? Lord, I pray that every single person in here would hear something specific for them, exactly where they are. We thank you, Lord, for your power. We ask for your glory to come and to fill this room. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so I'm gonna talk about a topic that for some of us, it might be overwhelming, confusing, exhausting. We might have some pain attached to it. And, you know, there's a handful of spiritual disciplines that we can kind of pull out from scripture. And Jesus gives them to us so that we can grow in our relationship with Christ. So we can have the glory of God just filling us and radiating out of us as we go throughout our days. And one of those spiritual disciplines is prayer. Now, my life has been transformed by prayer. I didn't always loved prayer. I grew up around it. In fact, the three times that I can remember growing up as a kid, praying often was, one, before every single meal, we prayed. The second time was when I was in school growing up and I'm sitting in my class and the teacher's passing out the test. I'm like, oh God, please. I just need all the answers right now for this test because I didn't study, right? Never happened. And the third time was when I would, you know, maybe get into some trouble in school and I would just pray to God that I would not get the consequences that I deserved. So two of those three were just me constantly praying mercy prayers my entire childhood and growing up. And I'm so thankful that over the last 10 years, God has just so kindly just taught me the value of prayer and what it means to have a prayer life and a deep relationship with God through prayer. And prayer takes intentionality, it takes consistency, it takes humility. And I heard it said once that our prayer lives as Christians, it can go from duty to desire. It can go from duty, like something I just have to do, to a desire or a delight. And that's for everyone in the room. As Christians, we're called to be people who pray. Prayer is like Christianity 101. You get saved, boom, you can start praying. That should be the foundation at which we grow in our relationship with the Lord, is through prayer. And so we're gonna talk about that in a little bit. But first, I'm going to read from the book of Colossians. Now, if you're following along with us in the one-year Bible, Colossians will get to around October 8th or something like that. So don't worry, you didn't miss anything. I'm kind of jumping ahead. And if you don't have a one-year Bible, you can grab one at the lounge after service. So let's go to Colossians 4, verses 2 through 6. I'm going to read it, give some quick background, and we'll go from there. Verse 2, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us that God may open a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom towards outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. So a quick background, the Apostle Paul wrote the book of Colossians and he was writing to the church in Colossae, which is Asia Minor, like modern day Turkey. And Paul never actually went to the church himself. He wrote the letter from prison. He's in prison writing this letter. And then he sent the letter out with someone to take it to the church. And Paul's letter to the Colossians is said to be the most Christocentric letter in the New Testament, which essentially means he's just putting Jesus at the center of his writing. And the book is, honestly, it's awesome. So you should just go read it, the whole book. It's pretty special. It's pretty deep theologically as well. But Paul is writing to strengthen believers and to warn them against the false teachings during that time, teachings that minimized the work of the gospel and the work of Christ. And so, for example, one of those teachings was Gnosticism. I found a big, long definition, and I just kind of scaled it down, right? Gnosticism is the belief that secret spiritual knowledge, or gnosis, is key to salvation. And it replaces trust in Christ with secret knowledge, okay? So it's like, that's not it. That's not good, right? So Paul was writing to remind the church the central work of Christ and what Jesus has done. And so as I was preparing for this message, I came across this quote in one of these commentaries, and I think it's just awesome. It says, more than any other letter that Paul wrote, Colossians presents the Christian life as an unrestrainable outburst of joy, praise, and thanksgiving, in which all that the believer says and does is an expression of grateful worship of an all-supreme Lord who has provided an all-sufficient salvation. Come on. Is anyone thankful for the all-sufficient salvation that Jesus provided? Yes. Thank you, Lord. Now, I'm convinced that in this book, there are valuable insights for us as believers, as a body, valuable insights on how to create a culture that sustains a move of God or revival as we've been experiencing here over the last year. Revival at its core, once you kind of strip away all the other things, Revival at its core is a fresh awakening to the reality of Jesus, his lordship, and his power at work among his people. And over the last year, we have experienced that here in our church. It's been incredible. Our lives have been changed by the nearness of God and the power that is working in all of us. Prime example, people being baptized and being saved. That is a sign that God is close and he's moving in power. And so God is attracted to holiness and to purity. The Bible is full of all over scripture where Jesus, if he finds a community of people who do a handful of things, they honor the word of God, they're a humble people, they're pure, right? The Lord is attracted to those type of people. And it's like holiness and purity, it's not like you got, like, it's not like a religious thing. This holiness brings freedom to our life. This is how to live an abundant life. And Julie talked about it last week, like being people of the Spirit. Even in Colossians 3, it talks about holy living. The Lord gives us these tools and these resources because he says, if you live like this, you will experience everything that Jesus paid for. And so I do really believe that God is doing something special in our community where he's starting to refine our hearts in some of these ways. So over the next few verses, we're gonna just kind of break down, we're gonna go verse by verse and quickly break down what Paul is saying here. So verse 2, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. Now Paul is calling all Christians to live a lifestyle of constant prayer, to be people who pray. And prayer is one of those core spiritual disciplines that we find. And he uses the word steadfastly, which is interesting. It means to be unwavering, persistent in purpose, devotion, action, unshakable, right? It's this, like, you just, no matter what, we're gonna be praying. And remember, Paul's in prison here. So he's not in an ideal situation. He's in a bad place, right? He's in prison. But yet somehow he's writing to people and saying, hey, be steadfast in prayer. So it makes me think, when I'm in a tough spot in my life, how many of you guys have been in a tough spot? Tough spot. Even in that place, we can be persistent in prayer. And I know it's tough, like, and I'm not minimizing struggles or like really hard seasons of prayer, I'm not. But in Psalms 34, it says, Jesus draws near to the brokenhearted. So when you're in a tough spot and you choose to lean in and to pray, the Lord draws near to you. And how many of you are thankful that Jesus doesn't keep you there? He lifts you up. And again, the whole book talks about him lifting us up, right? Hiding in the shadow of his wings. Like he can protect us in that place of prayer. Jesus talks about it as well in Matthew 6, and I'll get there in a little bit. Thanksgiving leavens prayer. It takes the focus off of us and puts it on the Lord. In Psalms 100, we read that we can enter the courts of the Lord with thanksgiving and rejoicing. So if you are in a tough spot and you just wanna feel the presence of God, start to thank the Lord, start to praise the Lord, and you will experience God's presence. Verse 3, at the same time, pray also for us that God may open a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear, which is how I ought to speak. As Christians, we pray for each other. That's what we do. We pray for people. And we pray that God would open a door for us in our daily lives to share the gospel. As we go from home to work, to practice, wherever, we pray that there will be an opportunity to tell somebody about this good news that we have. And we also pray for our leaders, our church leaders, our pastors, right? The missionaries, the different organizations that we partner with, like Convoy of Hope, or we have our Hope Center. We pray that God would use them with boldness and courage to share the gospel with people that we interact with. That's what we do as Christians. We pray for open doors. And Paul, he talks about mysteries or the secrets of Christ, which it's the mystery has been revealed. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And so we can testify of that as we look for open doors throughout our day. We can share with people. And now you don't have to stand on the curb with a megaphone and signs and do all that. You don't have to do that. If the Lord tells you to, I guess you need to do it. But you don't have to do that. You can just go about your day and you recognize when there's a crack in the door and you see a coworker circle back and ask you a question, boom, opportunity. Verse 5, walk in wisdom towards outsiders, making the best use of the time. As Christians, we should live a life that reflects the work of salvation. And it's pretty straightforward. That's pretty simple. There's something about our lives that should attract people to why we live the way we live. Now, I'm not trying to come down on anybody or like make you feel like overwhelmed. Not at all. We live this way because it's an overflow of the revelation that Jesus has transformed our life. We said yes to living our life to serve God, to honor the Lord. It is the best news in the world. And so we have the opportunity to share that with people. When I worked in a secular environment, I had all these coworkers, and they obviously were not Christians. And I just remember playing it safe all the time and just being a good friend, being a good guy, but kind of trying to dodge the God conversation, right? For whatever reason. I didn't want them to stereotype me or, you know, say, oh, John's coming. We gotta change the way we act, all this stuff. And so over time, it was at this point in my life where I wanted to be a pastor. And I was in a tough spot because I'm thinking, I want to be a pastor, but I can't talk to my coworkers about God. It was just a weird spot to be in. And so the Lord brought up some of the reasons why I was thinking that and why I was living like that. One of them was, and this is just for me, one of them was I was just ashamed to be a Christian. That I thought that I would be made fun of or stereotyped. Like they would somehow label me as like just, I don't know, whatever you think a Christian is like, right? Just some lame, boring person that has, you know, I didn't want that, but that's what I thought. I thought I would lose friends because I was a Christian, right? The second reason was I didn't really deeply understand the power of the gospel and the power of the cross. That it's the work of salvation, the testimony of Jesus. I must not have had that deep in my heart, because if I really did, if we really understood the power of the gospel, we would tell everybody. We would tell everybody. It's the best news in the world. And people want to know that. That's another thing I've been realizing lately is there are people everywhere around you, every day, who are hungry for God. They're hungry for God. They might not even necessarily know it, but if we just take a risk and say, hey, has anyone told you that Jesus loves you today and he has a wonderful plan for your life? That could be, boom, the question they need to turn their life to Jesus. And so people should see that there's something different about our life when we walk into the room. Now, again, I said this a second ago. I do not want us feeling like it's a burden or something that we have to like heavy carry and, oh man, I gotta go. No. It should be with joy. Like that quote I just read earlier, with joy, unrestrainable joy, that we have good news to tell people. And remember, again, it's an overflow of what God's done in your life, an overflow. It just bubbles up out of you. And if you forgot the good news, I'll just quickly try to remind us. Jesus came from heaven to earth. He lived a perfect life, right? Perfect life. He died a brutal death as an innocent man. The Holy Spirit then raises that man, Jesus, from the dead. And in that act, he conquered sin, hell, the grave. He conquered death forever in that moment. And then he raises, and then he says, actually, it's better that I leave and send you the Holy Spirit, the helper, to give you power on the inside of you to live life. Amen. Goes a step further. It gets better. He says, and now you have full access to me. In Hebrews, it says, boldly, with confidence, we can approach the throne of grace and we can ask God for anything. We can ask him for anything. And then he says, after all that, he says, now go and tell everybody. Tell everybody about the work of Jesus and what he's done for your life, how he has saved you, as he's healed you and set you free from all the oppression, the weights and the chains that have weighed you down, right? good news. And then he says, go tell everyone and make disciples and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we have seen that over the last several months now, people being saved and being baptized. And today, if you have come today and you do not know Jesus, you have no idea what I'm talking about, or maybe you've heard the name Jesus, but you're not quite sure, today you can meet him, right? Today is your day of salvation. There are dozens of people that would love to pray for you today and introduce you to the Lord and then pray for you to be filled with the Spirit, and then you can declare, which by the way, this is a declaration. When you see someone get baptized, it's a declaration that they are living their life to serve the Lord, that they are going into the watery grave, right? And they're coming up out new, born again, new, right? It's a symbol of what Jesus did on the cross. There is water in there, but that water is charged with the power of the cross. Don't think that you're just getting in there and getting out. When you get in that water, you are gonna have an encounter with God and you're coming out different. All right, verse 6, we gotta, yeah, that time. Verse 6, let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you know how to answer each person, okay? Could spend a lot of time on this. If you're a Christian, it matters what comes out of your mouth. As we prioritize our prayer life and we develop a prayer life, it should begin to affect every area of our life. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Salt not only flavors, but prevents corruption. Our speech should impart grace. It's time that we just, when it comes to our speech, right? We just go higher now. We go higher. The world can cut everyone down easy. Just look. The world's cutting people down. As Christians, we're called to go higher. Let's speak life. Let's call out the gold in people. Okay, Paul touches on a lot of things in these five verses, but we're gonna zero in on prayer here. Now, I know we're all at different places when it comes to prayer, and that's totally okay. We have to start somewhere, and that's fine. And I'm just asking that that you would open yourself up to what the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, that he is inviting you into a rich relationship with him through prayer. So growing up, I grew up in a Christian home, and I have these vivid memories of waking up and seeing my mom. I would get up to get ready for school, and I'd see my mom sitting in her chair with her Bible and her notebook. And then I would walk downstairs and I would see my dad sitting in his chair with his Bible and his notebook, spending time with God. So from an early age, I didn't really know what they were doing, but they did it. And so from an early age, the value of spending time with God, it was just in my heart and in my mind for all these years. And I'm so incredibly thankful for that. And as I started to take my faith more seriously, I just discovered the value of prayer and the relationship that you can have with God through prayer. It's much more than crushing tests and making sure that I'm eligible for sports, right? It goes deeper than that. Jesus gave us clear instruction on not only to pray, but where to pray as well. He says, pray in secret. Now, I like to call that the secret place, and I'm not trying to be weird about it. That's just what Jesus said, right? In Matthew 6, he says, but when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. So it's this picture of Jesus says, go in your room, but just find a designated space to be with God. And Jesus is telling us because he knows the value of it. He says, when you do that, I'm gonna be there. I'm gonna reward you. I'm gonna honor that time. So for some of you, it might be your room. It might be your garage. It might be your kitchen. It might be your car. It might be an office at work that's not being used, but it's quiet there. The second you find that spot, lock it in, show up there every day, and you will encounter God. And he will speak to your heart. He will speak to your life. And in that secret place, that's where you get new wine. That's where you get fresh oil. That's where you get fresh bread for each day, is in the secret place. That's where the refiner's fire comes and purifies your life. Purifies your life to look like Jesus, to love Jesus more, to represent him every day. Now, after the first service, a guy came up to me and he talked to me about this refiner's fire process. And I didn't get all the information, but he said the refiner purifies the fire, and he does it until he can see his image in the fire. Isn't that crazy? Like, the Lord purifies us in the secret place until we look like him. Come on. Love that fire. So our weekend services, they can't be the only place that we spend time with God. We spend time in prayer. We spend time in worship, in our Bible. We love that. We love that. We want to do that together. But when we come here on a Sunday, this should launch us in to daily connection time with God throughout the week. Even if it's 10 minutes, that's okay. Give God 10 minutes. And you do that for a couple days, next thing you know, you're like, I got an extra 5 minutes. Boom, it's 15. Next thing you know, you're like, I got another 10, right? And it grows and grows and grows because transformation happens there. Now, we're gonna need a massive value for the secret place if we want to pursue revival. That's where transformation happens, is in the secret place. Yes, when we come together, like, things can happen here. But again, if we want God to move here, if we want to see God's power here, we wanna see miracles, signs and wonders, which we're going to see, if we wanna see all that, we have to see it here first. We have to want it here first. And again, I am trying to provoke a little bit. I am trying to kind of stir, provoke, but I do not want you to feel like shameful in any way. But there's something that God's doing in our church, in our communities, and he's fanning this flame on the inside of us. Living a life of fellowship and intimacy with Jesus through prayer, I mean, that's what it is. That's like the main thing. Now, there's this quote from St. Evagrius. I love this. This is so good. He says, "Do not be troubled if you do not immediately receive from God what you ask him. For he desires to do something even greater for you while you cling to him in prayer." Isn't that awesome? Like, somehow, like, even after we ask, which, by the way, there's over 120 times that the Bible says to ask God for things. So he's a good father. He wants us to ask him for things. But even past that, something happens, for he desires to do something even greater for you while you cling to him in prayer. So there is a massive work that God does on the inside of our hearts when we cling to the Lord in prayer. You guys doing okay? Okay, good, good. Just a few more minutes. You know, Jesus didn't hang naked on a cross so you could have a cold, boring, non-existent prayer life. Like, there's something that God wants to do in your heart when you come to him in prayer. And everyone here is hungry. So if you weren't hungry, if you didn't have a desire for more, you wouldn't be in this room. Okay, so be encouraged. Like, God is drawing you. He's doing something in your life. Whether you even see it on the outside or not, you're here. Now, it's tough for me because I want to kind of hit every single type of prayer, and that's impossible. But there's so many books and podcasts and resources that you can check out on your own to grow in prayer. There's also an opportunity coming up here. I'm just gonna shameless plug this really quick. The 50 plus community, they have a conference coming up. Di is gonna be speaking at it, and they're gonna talk about prayer. They're gonna talk about how to grow. This is a fantastic place to go. Now, it says 50 plus, but it's open to everybody. So 50 plus and 50 minus. You guys can all come. That conference should be packed with all kinds of ages, right? And so that's a great place to start if you wanna grow in your prayer life. Be encouraged. There's plenty of resources out there for you. So we're gonna go back in here. So non-crisis desperation. When you voluntarily set your heart to seek God, no matter what your circumstances are, sure, yes, moments, crisis type of moments, we can go to the Lord in prayer and he will respond, right? And we will grow in that area. But also non-desperation, non-crisis prayer. When you are just hungry for God and you're like, man, I wanna experience everything that God has for me in this life, I am going to pray. Right, I'm gonna ask God to move in my family, move in my church, move in my life, right? That pulls on God. And when the Lord sees a people who are choosing to hunger after God, to pull, to go into the place of prayer and ask God, it does something in his heart. He's actually drawn and attracted to that. There's scripture to back that up as well. And we can expect God to pour his spirit out. When I was in college, the Lord, it's kind of a longer story, but the Lord put this on my heart, gave me this vision to see our campus encountering like the power of God. Me and my buddies were, we were just on fire. We were praying and doing all this stuff, and God was really meeting us. And we just wanted to see our campus experience the same thing. So I remember going to my roommates and saying, hey guys, I have this idea, like what if we just prayed for campus? What if we prayed from 9 to 10 on a Tuesday night that God would pour a spirit out on our campus? And I was shocked. They're like, yeah, sounds good. We should do that. I'm like, okay, cool. So we gathered together 9 p.m. on Tuesday nights, and we would pray these two scriptures, 2 Chronicles 7:14 and Joel chapter 2. We would pray that the Lord would pour a spirit out on our campus. And we did that for a couple weeks, and we didn't tell anybody. We didn't post about it. We didn't advertise it, none of that. But we knew that God wanted to do something. Next thing you know, 7 to 10 people kind of start showing up in our apartment, and we're thinking, okay, cool. We designated the time 9 to 10 to just pray popcorn prayers, right? We're learning all this, popcorn prayers about campus. It wasn't time to pray for your mom's back, your cracked windshield, your unspoken, your dog going to the vet. That, all that stuff's good. We love that. But it was from 9 to 10 strictly for campus. But then all these people started to show up. So we figured, okay, we should probably pray for all that stuff now. So after 10 o'clock, we would pray for healing. We pray for breakthrough. We saw God do a lot of special things. People got saved and baptized, healed. A guy came in with a lot of demonic kind of oppression. He got completely set free and filled with the Spirit in our apartment. Yeah, it was incredible. And we were learning all this stuff kind of on the fly. We didn't know how to do any of this. And I also remember we had a corner in our apartment full of casts and boots and braces and crutches and wraps, just because it was a testimony of what God was doing in our community. And so we kind of collected them because we thought it was cool. And then it got really nasty because it just smells, and like, who wants a sweaty boot? It's just kind of gross. So we just threw it away. But it was still testimony of what God was doing. And so after a couple months go by, 20, 30 people start showing up. We're thinking, wow, this is special. And then again, just praying for campus, praying for each other. And then by the end of the school year, we had over 100 people in our dorm room praying for God to move in power on our campus. And we didn't, yes, amen. And we didn't even know how to do it. We were kind of just learning on the fly, but God was encountering people. I love this memory. I had just piles and piles of shoes piled up outside of our door going into our apartment. It was just such a special time, and the presence of God was just so near and close, and he was really moving in these students. And so I really believe, I have this like kind of this sense in my gut that God wants to do that again. He wants to do that again. And you can throw that other picture up. There were so many students that we actually had to find a building on campus in the basement and meet there for the next 2 years because we just couldn't fit them in our apartment. But there are dozens of rooms like this in this room that God wants you to pour his spirit out in your workplace, at your schools, in your homes, right, on your sports teams. God's looking for people who would just pray and just ask him to move in power, and he's gonna do it. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people who are called by my name, that's all of us, will humble themselves and pray, they turn from their wicked ways, the Lord says he'll hear from heaven and he'll come and heal their land. It's a total setup. It's awesome. And I really believe that God wants to do that today. And so as we kind of transition into worship, I just want you to, let's just stand. Stand if you can. And we're just gonna just take a few seconds here and just connect with the Holy Spirit. If you wanna put your hand on your stomach, do that. And just, Holy Spirit, I just ask right now that you would begin to stir up on the inside of us this flame of God, this desire to be in your presence, to be people who pray, believing that you will move in our communities, in our homes, in our families, in our schools. Lord, we thank you for your word. And we ask that you would receive our worship today as we give you an overflow of what's in our hearts, Lord. How much we love you. How we love you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name.